I'd like now to welcome to the program Jeanne Siminoff. She is author of the new memoir, Saving Myself, A Los Angeles Childhood, and she will be speaking at Collected Works Bookstore on Monday, the 17th of January at 6 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
So this is a book that you wrote pretty much not only about your childhood, but kind of from a child's point of view as in terms of the writing style.
Right.
Why did you choose to do it that way?
That's the way it came forward. Because of the loss of my mother when I was 2.5 and not really having the language to describe what had happened or having any knowledge as to what really happened, I had repressed a lot of memories. And within the writing, with a pen on a blank page, all of a sudden that child came forward. And it came forward in the voice of the child at the age at which the memories were repressed.
Now, did you go through a process of, so to speak, recovering memories from the first 2.5 years of your life?
I would say I did.
Or it could be a process of creative imagination, I suppose. It must be some interesting combination of those two.
I think so. It's not automatic writing, but it's as if writing does writing. It just came forward on the page, and each time I would complete a portion of it, I would read it afterwards, and I'd say, oh my goodness, where did this come from? It's in my handwriting, it's with my pen, my notebook, but how does memory reform on the page when it has been hiding interior and dormant for so long?
Very interesting. And so you wrote this, and it's very much about, well, themes of loss and themes of anti-Semitism in World War II and post-World War II Los Angeles.
Correct.
What are your earliest memories of, first of all, just knowing that you were Jewish?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever not known that I was Jewish. I came from a religious family, grew up in the Highland Park Eagle Rock area of Los Angeles. My forebears, my father's sisters and brothers, actually helped to physically build the synagogue in Highland Park. So, you know, I grew up through that, and I grew up just knowing that that's who I was, and very proud, very out about it.
At a certain point, one of your classmates, or one of your childhood colleagues, so to speak, what do you call them, playmates, accused you of killing Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, he did. That was Donovan, bless his heart. Yeah, it was, a very strange experience for a small child who didn't really know that much really about Jesus Christ. You know, having grown up in
considering you were, 6 years old or something?
Yeah, 6, 7 years old. And, never sang Christmas songs. Never really, as far as I knew, there was a Bible. It ended at the Old Testament. You know, and that was it. And all of a sudden, there's this little kid hollering at me every day to and from school, "You killed Christ, you dirty Jew." You know, what to do about that? How does one get around that? What does the small child who is me do to try to get away from this form of terror, or what could be called now in this day and age, childhood bullying?
Right. And what did you do about it?
Well, I learned to run faster than him. I learned to protect myself from him by imagining that he wasn't there. Getting into that place where the child who was me is running away, and in my mind, I am trying to look for all of the salvation I can. I think about Yom Kippur, you know, the Day of Atonement, and how there's this big book. And in this big book, God decides, okay, you're going to drown, you know, you're going to die by fire, this, that, and the other. And as a small kid, I imagined Donovan drowning. And all of a sudden, it drowns out his voice. It takes me away from him. And in that moment, I learned to save myself.
How did your family respond when you came home and told them what was happening?
I don't know. It was like, in some way, they didn't really believe that it was happening. I don't remember getting any support. I remember the same child burning a cross on our front lawn. And years later, when I'm writing the memoir, before my mother's mind was totally taken with Alzheimer's, I said, hey, do you remember that time then? And that little kid that lived around the corner burned a cross on our lawn? Oh, I don't remember any of that. Do you remember that he used to scream at me every day? Are you sure? my classmates, my other classmates, believed me, didn't understand why they believed me, were my parents in some way. No, maybe they thought, you know, I was a kid who made up a lot of stories. Maybe it was a made-up story.
At the same time, there's a little passage in the book where you talk about how your stepmother felt very safe as a Jew when she was growing up, which was well before World War II.
Right.
And in Los Angeles after that, it suddenly wasn't safe anymore.
I know, it's really...
Even though the United States was fighting Nazism.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a very strange phenomenon. And my mother grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. She was the daughter of a rabbi who came, you know, to the United States, bringing his family to be free, you know, to practice his own religion, to be able to be out in the world. And yet, as you say, here we are in a little enclave in Los Angeles, where we're the only Jewish family. It's no longer safe to be there. The irony was just startling to me when I realized it.
It also raises the question, which I don't think you really go into in the memoir, but what is going on in the minds and in the families of little children like Donovan who learn to be expressively hateful at such an early age?
Good question, Mary Charlotte. I don't know what's going on. I think our parents are our role models. You know, I mean, we live in a world where there is a lot of hate. You know, somebody always has to be picking on someone else. And, I mean, here in Santa Fe, it happens, being Jewish, for several years, we had a guard at the door of our synagogue at the high holidays.
Really?
Yeah.
What had
yeah.
happened that made you feel the need to do that?
Just fear, groups from the other side, you know, just doing malicious things.
I mean, had there been incidents?
I don't really recall anything specific, but just knowing, I mean, as a Jew, there's something built into my DNA where I'm on guard. It's like being in the trenches every day. You know, we see the same thing with gays, you know, with gays and lesbians, bashing and all of that stuff. You know, another form of discrimination that happens all the time today in our world.
Right. But I mean, I don't want to go into this too much, but you're putting guards up around the synagogue on the high holidays, even though there had not actually been any known incidents.
Just threats of incidents.
So people had called and threatened you?
Yeah, so what do you say, what do? Do you not, you know, do you do like a lot of the Jews did in Nazi Germany and say, oh, hey, nah, could never happen.
That could never happen, right. Yeah, yeah. We're talking to Jean Siminoff about her memoir, Saving Myself, A Los Angeles Childhood. Another thing that happened, which was a great disappointment to you, was you wanted to have the bat mitzvah ceremony, and you were not allowed to.
Right, and this is...
Why was that?
This is 1952. This is in a conservative synagogue. You know, there's the Orthodox, there's a conservative, and the Reform, of which I'm a member now.
The Reform.
The Reform Judaism, yeah. And at that time, especially in my synagogue, and I think pretty much around the United States, girls just didn't do that. I mean, they didn't do that. And in my mind, I mean, I'm going to Hebrew school. I'm studying. I'm actually much better at all the prayers than the boys are. You know, and there's no doubt in my mind that I will have this rite of passage. And it doesn't happen.
The rabbi said no.
The rabbi didn't say no. The rabbi left. My parents felt that it would be just as okay to be confirmed as to be bat mitzvah. Of course, in my mind, not so.
What happened after that?
Well, a long time went by. I think that in some way I lost some of my faith. You know, I went through rituals. I mean, we went to Friday night services. We benched left. We lit candles. We said the blessing over the wine. You know, we did all of these things that I did that were artifacts of Jewish culture and Jewish life, yet I didn't really feel totally part of it. And it wasn't until 50 years later that I went to a bat mitzvah up in South Lake Tahoe of my cousin Lizzie's, and all of a sudden, it just came to me. It's not too late.
And so you got bat mitzvahed in your 60s.
I did, in 2002. And the miraculous and wonderful part of it was that my mother had Alzheimer's. It was hard. She went in and out of memory. At that time, she recognized her brother, which she hadn't recognized for 4 years. And in the middle of the service, my mother yells out, "That's my daughter!" You know, and it was like coming home. It was like that part that I didn't get to complete was fulfilled at that time, and I was able to move on with my life.
We're talking to Jean Siminoff about her memoir, Saving Myself, A Los Angeles Childhood. As I was reading along, I was thinking, you have these stories of discrimination against you, little girl, you, for being Jewish. You have discrimination also from within the religion against you as a girl. And I wondered, and you were very religious. You loved Hebrew school. You loved Judaism. Was there, in retrospect for you, a connection between the discrimination against you and the strength of your connection to your religion?
I feel that I felt very strongly. I was a very strong secular Jew, yet part of what was happening left an empty space in me. And one that I really needed to figure out how I could fill. Discrimination, I don't know, it seems like it's always been part of my life, and yet it's never held me down. You know, and I feel very strong, and I feel that there's not anything that I really can't do. So does discrimination, loss, make you weaker? Does it make you stronger? You get a choice. For me, as I learned early in writing the memoir, Queen Stinky comes forward. And Queen Stinky is this little kid who's me, who discovers ways that she can get what she wants. You know, she discovers ways in which she is very strong. And up until that point in my life, I don't think I was aware that I had that Queen Stinky in me. You know, and here's this little kid who's really tough as nails. You know, and actually I invited Queen Stinky to come with me here today. So she'd like to say hello.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
So the memoir is called Saving Myself. And I had to wonder whether the saving happened in the process of writing or whether you felt like you really had found a way to save yourself as a young child.
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. I think that I did find a way to save myself, and that I was a very strong little kid, a very resourceful kid. I was an only child, and so I learned to be strong. And so saving myself came forward. The book had many other titles, but that was the one, in writing the memoir, appeared to be what was the reality of my life.
Jean, is there any maybe part from the book that you'd like to read?
Yes, I could start, you know, since the book starts at the beginning, I could start with the beginning.
All right.
Okay, the beginning is called 1943, The First Death. Even though I was there, I can't remember if I caught a glimpse of the flashing red lights or heard the siren when my mother died. Whether my father picked me up or I stayed in my crib for what seemed like forever or just a second. Life after that became a blur. I only remember one small artifact at a time. Sounds, screams, siren, father's wail, breath, then no breath. Grasping wife for husband. Beloved, then no beloved. There is only a mass of tangled feelings with the Los Angeles summer heat carrying the scent of jasmine in through the open window. No words, without a map to follow. My father a beacon, then no light.
Jean Siminoff from her memoir, Saving Myself, A Los Angeles Childhood. You spoke at the beginning about the process of writing, which was basically taking pen and paper and going into what, as you talk about it, sounds like almost a trance state, looking at what you read later. How did you then shape that into a memoir?
Well, good question. I decided that the format would be good to just put it in chronological order because I had I had several small vignettes written since, you know, time comes back in on itself like a parabola. Nothing was written in any particular order. And in order to make a coherent flow, I started by putting in the dates and then let the book flow from there.
Jean Siminoff's memoir is Saving Myself, A Los Angeles Childhood. And once again, she will be at Collected Works Bookstore this coming Monday, the 17th of January at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, or in the evening. Thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me. So all of you, I hope you show up at Collected Works at 6 o'clock on Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
To bear witness and to help each other open our hearts.
Thank you. And Jean Siminoff has chosen a song to go out with. It's by Debbie Friedman, who was a Jewish folk singer who passed away just earlier this week. The song is called Mi Sheberach.